Emily Liddell.
And I'm Kyle Cacciadorian.
And you're listening to another episode of The Accessible Stall.
Remember, Emily, our listeners can support The Accessible Stall by going to www.patreon.com/TheAccessibleStall. Just $1 a month ensures that every episode of The Accessible Stall from here on out will be fully transcribed. Support us today if you're willing and able. And having said that, what are we going to talk about today?
So, I'm pretty sure that a good number of our listeners have got to be among the 19 million plus people who have seen the viral video of the guy with cerebral palsy who was signed by Nike.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Right.
I'm lying right now.
You're not among the 19 million. That's fine.
Yes, I am.
So, if you haven't seen it, long story short is a guy with CP, I believe his name is Justin. Is that correct?
That sounds right. We'll fact check it.
He is a runner, a good runner, and he gets to the end of a race. And when he reaches the finish line, a camera crew is there and Nike surprises him with a professional contract. And he is ecstatic and he falls to his knees and he starts bawling. And it's like, while you're watching it, it's like, I'm not crying, you're crying.
Yeah.
I was chopping onions. I have an eyelash. But it's such an empowering video. And honestly, the first time I watched it with the sound off because I was in public. And I think that might have been the best way for me to watch it. Because when you turn the sound on, it's suddenly this sweeping, emotional piano music, and it just doesn't match the video at all.
Yeah, it's so jarring. And, you know, that started a discussion between Emily and I as to, like, whether or not this is inspiration porn. But then we were like, wait a minute, how about instead we talk about what constitutes inspiration porn and how things like this can be framed so that it can be interpreted as such or not. And that seemed way more interesting, really.
Yeah, well, because I sent the link to you. I assumed you'd seen it already, but this is how Kyle and I talk about things. We'll just send links back and forth to each other and then have conversations about it. And so I sent him that link and I said that I really liked it. And he was actually surprised.
Yeah, I said to Emily, I was like, I was totally assume that you'd hate it. And I specifically mentioned it's because of the music. And she had no idea what I was talking about until she watched it later.
Yeah, so then I put it on with the music and I think it just has this whole different effect on the video. And it's really rubbing me the wrong way because I guess I picture something as badass as a guy with CP getting signed to a professional running contract to have like heavy metal rock music or like Eye of the Tiger or something like that.
Or like the Final Countdown by, yes, by Europe. Yes. No, but really, it's so weird. But then, you know, that got me thinking. It was like, okay, but that was obviously a very conscious choice by Nike to put that music in there.
Was it Nike who made that video, though? This is what I'm trying to figure out. Because
who made the video?
I saw the video through Sports Illustrated, so I wasn't sure who the actual maker was.
Oh, okay, the producers of the video. You're right, it might not have been Nike that put the video out. But whomever made the video made a very conscious choice to put that music in. And it makes me wonder, like, that was done on purpose, and was that done for the purpose of getting more views? Do you think that if that video had that cool rock music or Eye of the Tiger or the Final Countdown, that it would have gotten so many views in such a short time? I don't know, and that bothers me.
I feel like it would have gotten more, but I don't know. I'm not a video producer, so. But what I am is a disabled person who sees a disabled guy signed to a professional contract with an athletic company, and I'm like, yeah, that's so cool. And then I hear it with the music and I'm like, oh, I don't think that's the reaction I was supposed to be having. Like, I'm supposed to be sobbing now. And yeah, it got me emotional watching him fall to his knees and start crying.
But it's not because you were sad. You were happy for the guy for, like, fulfilling his dream. Like, that's, you were inspired.
Yeah, and we need to talk about
by
why.
A guy. Yeah, no, we will. Don't worry. I just felt like saying that. And that got Emily and I thinking, like, the way that people like us, not as quote-unquote professional disabled people, PM. Like, you know, we often say as a joke on this podcast, but as just disabled people, when we watch videos like that, it's almost guaranteed that the reaction that we have is not the reaction that we perhaps ought to have or would have if we weren't disabled. You know what I mean? And it's so bizarre because this one was really close to getting it right, to merging the two worlds, yeah,
exactly.
I suppose.
Like, I saw so many of my friends on Facebook, especially friends who have cerebral palsy specifically, who were sharing it, and they were saying that it got them emotional because representation matters. And I don't feel like that was the message that the other million gazillion people who watched the video were probably taking away from it. And that just makes me sad.
And I was saying to Emily, too, because this did start as a conversation about inspo porn specifically before we decided to sort of merge it into this. It's almost sort of a given that disabled people are not the targets for inspo porny type stuff. Almost sort of a given, you know, because we're not the ones that are going to like it. But then I was like, okay, but if somebody who has a small child with CP sees that video and gets inspired for all the wrong reasons, but the result of that is that they see their kid as someone able to do anything they want, is it really that bad? And I couldn't answer that question either because I'm not a parent, but that's hard. I don't know how I really feel about either answer to that question.
I'm not even sure I feel exactly what I'm saying, but just for the sake of conversation, what are the wrong reasons? Like, and who are we to say that they're the wrong reasons?
That's a good point.
And granted, I do feel like there are wrong reasons to...
No, but let us unpack. There's a lot to unpack. Obviously, I would say that you can't really control what inspires you.
For sure. I mean, that's actually the argument that a lot of people give to me, is that, you know, who am I to say anything about what emotional response they have to something?
Yeah, but it's you. I would say that we're not complaining about the response itself. I think what we complain about when we talk about things like inspo porn is the complete and utter lack of follow through with your newfound emotion. Like, oh, it made you feel something, and what are you going to do about it? Nothing. Oh, so I, you know, it was just there to, we're not there to make you feel good, Susan. it's, there was a point to what you were watching.
Yeah,
you just didn't get it.
The flip side of that, where they feel so bad for us, and then they're like, wow, I'm so glad that my life is not that bad or whatever. So it's just like, I feel like the larger points go over people's heads. And so in this case, while you probably have people being like, oh my God, it is so inspiring to see a disabled guy running. Like, why sit back for like 5 minutes and think about why you think that's inspiring? You think that's inspiring because you don't see that. Why don't you see that? Because we still have the attitude that it's inspiring. It's like a cyclical thing.
And to extend your point even further and to muddy the waters even more, I am someone with CP. I was inspired as
rightfully
I was.
So.
But I was inspired because I can't do that. And to see someone who, it was different CP, but it was still CP. To see someone who had CP, it was like, oh, well, I can't do that. But it's good to know that like people like me can do that. You know what I mean? It was cool. It was like, oh, look, it's one of my people.
Yeah. And it also, it wasn't, there was no sense of coddling either. You know, it was literally like, we're from Nike, here's a contract. And like, yeah, there was some fanfare, but deserved. I mean, he had just finished a race, you know?
And I remember the Nike guy saying something to the effect of, oh, like, when we see you, we just see an athlete. And I, you know, I thought about that for a while. I really did, because that initially bothered me. And then I was like, why? Like, I couldn't, it initially bothered me, and then I couldn't figure out a reason for it to. And then I figured, like, okay, well, if I can't figure out why that bothers me, then it really shouldn't. Initially, I was apprehensive because of the whole, like, oh, you know, if you don't see the CP, then you're not seeing all of me. But I don't really think that that was the case in that situation. I think, you know, the Nike guy was just saying, like, doesn't matter. You're still you, and you're still an athlete. And you're one of us. Yeah, exactly. You know, you're going to make us good money, kid.
Yeah, it's a good marketing stunt, I guess, but I didn't really get the marketing stunt vibe. If anything, I got the marketing stunt vibe.
I was being cynical. I don't really believe that. I think Nike was doing the right thing. I think Nike was doing the right thing. But also, like, if authentic representation leads to more money for major companies, good. It's a win-win.
But also, why are we, and this is a general observation about society, honestly, why are we so hung up on doing the right thing? Why is it that including disabled people is still the right thing to do and not just the thing to do? You get my distinction?
I absolutely hear you, and you're right. It's sort of like, it's almost like, oh, well, you know, why don't we live in a post-racial America yet? And the answer is because we don't. There are things that should and shouldn't be that, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on what it is, just are. And you're right. I don't think that it should be the right thing to include people with disabilities in things. It should just be how it is. But in 2018, it's not, unfortunately. Yeah. And so, although I really do feel like sometimes that you shouldn't get credit for things that you ought to do, I feel that sometimes it's so seldom done that as much as I don't want to give you a cookie for doing the right thing, here's your cookie so that you know to keep doing the right thing.
I think that's fair. And I think in this case, for this particular video, I'm really hoping that it's inspired all 19 million people to see disabled people as worthy of inclusion and to...
I'll settle for just one.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah. Yeah, my goals were a little too lofty there. But for real, in some cases with things that I think are inspiration porn, I still at least feel like there can be a positive outcome from it. And in this case, I think there can definitely be a positive outcome. The problem is I want to get to a point where this doesn't have to be news. And I think in reflecting on that, I just have to accept that we're not living in a world where stuff like this is not newsworthy yet. At least, though, and this was another distinction that we were making when we were initially talking about this, is this is so different than those videos where girl with Down syndrome is voted prom queen.
Yeah, like, I don't think this video is inspiration porn. I think it could be misconstrued as inspiration porn. Framing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas hot team quarterback asks cute Down syndrome girl to prom is always inspo porn and also never news. I'll disagree with you a little bit. I would say that this particular thing, you're right, it shouldn't be news, I guess. But I, you know, if there was ever, like, I'm okay with that because it's weird. It's weird. You don't see people with CP getting professionally signed to be brand ambassadors or professional runners.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it is newsworthy because of the world that we live in.
And perhaps it shouldn't be one day. But I'm okay with things that ought to be newsworthy being newsworthy in the context of this world we live in today.
Yeah. And the other thing I thought about, too, is it's always newsworthy when someone gets some kind of a professional contract or something as an athlete. So, I mean, maybe not 19 million views of inspiration worthy, but certainly it's always news in the sports world when someone
even when they get traded,
right?
Like, they can already be who they are. Like, if LeBron James joined another team tomorrow, that would be on the front page of your sports section.
Kyle does not like sports.
I don't. Could you tell?
I mean, I pretend to like sports, but that's neither here nor there.
No, but seriously, though, if a household name athlete traded teams or retired or anything like that, that would be all you'd hear about in today's sports news. So you don't, you know, it's not just, oh, we found the new guy and he has CP and look, it's really cool. I'm saying that sports news gets eyeballs anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is always in the news. That's always something that's part of the news cycle. And so in that way, I think that this is no different than any other news story you would see about an athlete getting a contract. But, you know, then you have, I think at the beginning of the video, it says something like he suffers from cerebral palsy. And I know that people get so annoyed at professional disabled people, TM, for getting hung up on semantics, but that boy don't look like he's suffering.
Yeah, you know, look, and I know, because I used to be this guy, I know that you're going to say, well, maybe not you, because you're listening, so you probably agree with us. But in case you don't, I know that the second definition of to suffer means to be affected by, and if you have cerebral palsy, you are literally speaking, suffering from it. I know that. But the first definition is commonly associated with things that are extremely negative. And I wouldn't even be complaining about that if there wasn't about 30 synonyms that you could use for in place of that that convey the same exact message more clearly. And because there is, just don't use it. I mean, it's not something that I'm going to argue to death with, but it's just one of those little things that if we just all stop doing it, maybe we'd change the stigma a little bit.
Yeah, like how hard is it to say has?
Or lives with, or was born with.
I mean, that's the kind of thing that just gives me a headache, because every time I read or watch, you know, a good video or good journalism and get otherwise excited about the coverage of a story, and then you see like wheelchair bound or suffers from or confined to, and it's like, oh, you were so close, so close.
And I will say that Emily and I have definitely, and we still do, we butt heads, because I'm of the opinion that as long as your messaging is otherwise good, that really doesn't matter. But I will say that if anything else, if there's something else that's off with that language choice, then it just amplifies the facts that you messed up. So like, if, you know what I mean? Like if that's the only mistake you made, then it's just, oh, hey, you know, next time this was good, but next time do this. But if there's anything else wrong, it really stands out like a sore thumb, because then you can make the argument that, oh, they messed up their facts because they're, you know, ignorant and don't know the correct terminology, right?
I'm trying really hard to come around to the logic that it's the message overall rather than the means by which it was communicated.
Well, no, that's not true for all everything. You know, I don't believe that for everything, but I'm saying I don't let an otherwise fictional, otherwise good piece of writing that I otherwise agree with get ruined by a bad word choice.
Yeah, this is not like related to the overall inspiration porn thing, but in terms of language choice.
Well, language choice is framing.
No, it's true. You're right. It is framing. And so I went to see a play that a friend of mine got me a ticket to, and she told me that the play had a couple of questionable lines in it that were, you know, disability related, and then clarified, oh, but the play was from 1995, and, you know, try to like not let these lines bother you. And I was thinking, and I said too, I was like, you know, I'm not gonna let two lines of a play from like 20 years ago, you know, affect my overall enjoyment. And I think that that's important too, you know, as long as the framing is not taking away from the overall message of something, you know, that's a good thing. But in this case, with going back to the video, I feel like the music does take away from the overall message. Maybe not the word suffers from.
The word suffers from, I didn't even notice. The first time I saw it.
I pick up on this stuff all the time. Especially because, remember, I was watching it without the sound, so I was just looking for other things.
But you were just looking for other things because you saw the word suffer. I will say that in terms of something being old, like if something was like 20 years old and has bad whatever language choice or like, you know, metaphors or jokes or whatever. I am of the very firm belief that those should be left alone, if nothing else, other than to be a reminder of where we came from versus where we are. I think like things like that are extremely important. Having said that, I don't look at where we started. You gotta always put a Hamilton reference in there somewhere. I wanted to and I didn't, but then you did for me. I don't think, you know, I don't think that it should be glorified, but I think that I don't even want to call it preserving history. That sounds too douchey. But I mean, really, like, but there is value in seeing the progress that you don't see living life day by day. You know, no one notices the world changing day after day. But if you saw something from 20 years ago that you can look at now and go, oh, obviously, that's not cool. That's just showing you that, you know, you've grown up. And that's good.
Evolution of thought. And I think that the fact that we have companies like Nike signing a runner with CP is an overall societal evolution of thought. And I think it's fantastic. And I'm real pumped about it. And I guess my hope at the end of the day is that other people will be pumped about it too. But, you know, not in the sense that they grabbed their hanky and then clicked share. You know, I really, really hope that it motivates someone to see the worth of someone with a disability.
I'm going to be a little bit cynical here.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. I think that if you can look at a video of a man completing what I think is a marathon or whatever it was a long run. And he was sweating and he was just like drenched and he was like exhausted and he was, you know, huffing and puffing. And you can look at that man and you can cry tears of, oh, my God, sadness, inspiration. Why don't I, you know, I'm really happy I'm not like him. Then there's little that we can do to change your mind because that is missing the point.
Alternatively, how do you feel about the people who are like, oh my God, he's crippled and leads a miserable life and he can do that. So what's my excuse? How do you feel about those people?
Okay. I've always thought about this. I don't think I've ever sort of articulated my feelings. I do not blame able-bodied people for thinking that being disabled is a worse way to live because that, well, I mean, there's a, I could write a paper on how many, like all the reasons why that might be. But one of the bigger ones is that's what's reflected back at them in the world. That's what we associate, you know, and also not for nothing. But, it, you know, being disabled tends to happen to older people more than younger people because of age. And it sort of reminds people of their mortality. And it's just like that. They don't want to think of that. So I understand why somebody wouldn't want to be disabled. I really do. Like, I'm not. You know, I'm not defending them, but I totally understand that mindset. But the what's my excuse thing is a funny thing because it's like if that actually did motivate and inspire someone to get up off the couch from being a couch potato and go to the gym every day and better themselves. Yeah, good, I guess, rooted in bad reasons, but a good outcome like it, you know, it's like take it or leave it. But if that person just commented that and like, you know, stuck his fist in a in like a bowl of Cheetos and shoved like 18 of them in his face and like booted up World of Warcraft. It's like, you didn't need to say that, Tim. You didn't mean it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Those people are strange. I have a very weird relationship with those people.
I think that makes complete sense. Yeah. I mean, like my mom sustained an injury the other day. I hate to tell her story for her, but I'll keep it as vague as possible. And then someone said to her, like, you already deal with so much, and now you have this injury on top of it. Like, I can never do it, or something like that. And I was just like, stop it, Sandra. And, like, that wasn't her name. But apparently we need to give everybody names in this episode. But, like...
Oh, sorry, what?
Okay.
I was going to say, like, I understand. I really do understand why somebody thinks a disability is something to deal with. But what they don't understand is that, especially in our cases, and I imagine a lot of our listeners' cases, we were born this way. We're not dealing with anything. Well, we're just...
we are dealing with things, but often it's the, may I say, bullshit that is put in our way. by Fair the enough. Able-bodied world, no, which is a very right. social model view.
Yeah, things, yeah, but. and we really should talk about that.
Well, the problem is you can't have an isolated conversation about inspiration porn because it is so inextricably linked to so many other aspects of larger disability conversation. Although I will say, part of me really wishes that I didn't have to use the word porn, not because I care about it, but like because...
No, I care about it.
You know what? I really don't. But like, I remember I was trying to explain this concept to a group of students in a class that I was teaching. And, you know, they were like older, they were adults. And one of them was like very uncomfortable with the word porn. And I feel like when we're having this conversation, having to use that word kind of causes some of our points to get lost.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I don't like it. I mean, I personally, I don't care, but I'm not the one who has to care. The person who has to care is the person who doesn't know these things and is also willing to learn. And I can, it's not that hard for me to imagine a scenario wherein somebody who was willing to learn otherwise hears a word that they don't like. Like, they're already inching out of their comfort zone by sitting in the classroom with you listening. And then you say a word that they haven't liked for decades, and that's it. They go right back in, and they shut down, and they stop listening. And it's like, you just lost them. And it's not even your fault. You know what I mean? Like, personally, I don't care. I'll say porn every day. It's just a word. But, like, the people who need to learn these things might care. And what can you do? That's the term that we all agreed to. You know, it's like, it's so bizarre. It's just something that I don't like.
Yeah, and I mean,
because there's no good answer.
No, like, and that was not, you know, the central point that we're trying to make here, but it does make having these kinds of conversations a little bit more challenging.
Having said that, I don't think many of our listeners really care about the word porn. Do you guys? Let us know.
I actually do want to know because...
Yeah, no, that was a serious let us know.
Yeah, and I also really want to know what everybody thinks about the video too, because this was an interesting one for me because usually I tend to... go at depictions of disability kind of guns blazing, I guess, and be like, this was straight up inspiration porn and, you know, this was terrible and blah, 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 blah. But I'm also very willing to talk about the nuances, to unpack the nuances, if you will, of representation. And in this case, I think that the value of representation 100% outweighs the flaws of the video, if you want to put it that way. I think the flaws are few.
Yeah, I really think if you just replace the soundtrack, I mean, I know there's also suffering in there, but like, at least that one is literally, you know, dictionarily accurate. But the music is just too much.
And I feel like there are examples like this all the time.
Oh yeah.
I'm sure if I took a few minutes to comb through the archives of things that I've looked at, I would have come up with other examples of videos that could be otherwise good, but still, you know, could stand to have a few things changed. Like in this case, the music. Like, come on, guys, with the music, really?
This reminds me, I don't know why it's semi-related, but there was this other video going around sort of recently of this MMA fighter who had CP.
Oh, yeah?
They put him in the ring. Yeah, he was a total badass. I'll see if I can find it, and if I can, I'll put it in the description. But he had a problem, and his problem was nobody was hitting him. They were afraid. They didn't want to hit the disabled guy.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah, but it's like he made it there. You know, yeah, what do you
so
think?
Clearly they just, he has some worth, you know?
Yeah, like you think they just plop a like fighting gear on random disabled people and throw them into a freaking cage match? That's not how this works.
Annoying.
But he felt bad for himself. He's like, no, I made it. Let me participate. Come on, hit me.
Yeah, like fight me. No, but really, I would feel exactly the same way. Like, come on, man.
And then the other thing, too, is I just want to give a quick like shout out to Nike. This is not the first time they've been or tried to be inclusive. They made those shoes that were all the rage in the CP community a year or two ago. And frankly, I didn't like the shoes at all, but it had nothing to do with the shoes. It was just the fact that you put them on differently than most shoes. And all the muscle memory of putting on shoes the same for 20 years was a bit, it was so ingrained in me that I just couldn't learn how to do it. And also I wasn't the target kind of CP, but I will say that quirks aside, it was a very, very good effort and they should be commended for that, I think.
Nike does some cool stuff. I think there are a lot of big brands out there that are making some really cool steps. I think a good example of a brand to look out for who's doing cool things in a non-inspiration-porn way is Microsoft.
Microsoft, Apple.
Apple's doing, good stuff too.
Tommy Hilfiger.
Oh my God, with Tommy Adaptive, yeah.
I mean, I know those are just three, but really, like, those are all brands you've definitely heard of. And that's good. You know, we always talk about like how there's so much more work to be done on this show because there is, you know,
and there probably always will be.
And that's fine. That's fine, because striving to live in a more perfect world is a good thing. But it's so easy when you're stuck in the mire of all this that to forget that we have made huge amounts of progress. The ADA is only 28 years old. That's not a long time. We're not 28 years old. You know what I mean? It's, you know, we've got a ways to go, but we've made so much progress already. We have.
Although our age will never outrun the age of the ADA. So
I didn't mean to frame it that way. I just mean that we're still young.
Like, what you getting at?
Oh, wait, you mean your birthday doesn't count for 3 years this year? Gosh, mm-hmm. There must be something wrong with me. Anyway, any final takeaways?
Yeah, you know what? Probably not the final takeaway I would have had before we did this episode, but I'm glad that this was even a video that exists that we could do an episode about, if that makes sense. So I think that my final takeaway is that the fact that we're getting to the point in this world where we can have conversations not about whether something is just straight up inspiration porn, but we can start to talk about nuances and complexities of representation of disability. I mean, that's pretty cool.
I don't know if this was Nike's truly first step in creating sort of disabled centric content or whatever, or whoever made it. I'm sorry. We don't know if it's Nike. It's just that he was sponsored by Nike. But if it wasn't, it was rough around the edges. But if it was, it was a spectacular first effort. Truly. And that is so much better than we can say about almost any other video of this sort of caliber.
I think that's a good place to leave it.
I agree.
I'm just glad that we were able to have this conversation, honestly. I mean, I'm always glad we're able to have podcast conversations, but, you know, this one in particular, it's good to be able to talk about this stuff.
The more we talk about it, the more it sort of releases the stigma about talking about it.
Yes. Everything is cyclical.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to go as far to say the stigma around disability as a whole, but if you're too uncomfortable to talk about X, then X will never change. You got to start somewhere. That's all I mean. Anyway, good night, everybody. And remember, if you're willing and able to, please support the show on Patreon for just $1 a month. Your contribution will ensure that all future episodes of The Accessible Soul will be transcribed.
But if you can't support us on Patreon, which is totally okay, we understand, we would love you forever if you would rate us on iTunes, if you would somehow subscribe to our podcast on your preferred platform, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram.
And just keep being your beautiful selves.
And may we say, you look good today.
Good night, everybody.